Hello, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. You rate and review my podcast if you like me. And you can follow me on Instagram. It's YesKingOliver. Tatty bye.
Well, what I realised yesterday is that everything is two. It's not even like a perspective of choosing whether it's two. Everything has two sides to everything, right? Everything is literally, so you got the sperm and the egg to create a human being. You see one human being as if it's just one, but that human being isn't one. It's two, made up of two energies, two different, say, genes, two different everything, right? Two different, it's like an oak tree, right? And next to it is another oak tree. Looks the same, but it's completely different. Different root supply, different nutrients. It's completely different. And so if everything in life is two, and what we see is an illusion of one, then everything that we see in our life is based on what we are looking for in the first place. And that the reality is simply just what we want it to be, because it's just there. There's just nothing there. It's just we see what we want to see. And if we don't have any perception, it is just what it is. So everything is what we make it. Otherwise, it's just nothing, just there.
Oh, I love that. That's very true. It reminds me of this beautiful saying, our lives are make believe. So whatever you believe in, whatever perception you put out there, whether it's true or not true in your opinion, that's true. Whatever you say about it, if you say what the other person did is wrong, then it is wrong. If you say it's, you know, a good deed, then it's a good deed. The perception is going to be different from one person to the other. But I like the fact that you remind yourself and people out there, it takes two to tango. Whatever you're doing, it takes two things, two elements, whether it's balancing and up and down, balancing the good and bad, balancing you having lots of energy or not enough energy. Nothing has a meaning unless you contrast it with its opposite. Yeah, I like that.
Come closer to the mic just a little bit.
Oh, perfect. Sure.
Right. So if that's what it is, then no one's right, no one's wrong. No job is the perfect job. No person is the perfect person forever. So marriage is out the question, right? Because you're saying that one person is the perfect one forever, and it's not, because there's multiple perfect things at different parts of your life. Nothing ever stays the same. Nature never stays the same. So anything that's just one, so if you go to a Chinese restaurant, right, you enjoy that food, don't come back next time expecting the meal to be as same as the last time. There could be different chefs, different ingredients. The chef might be having a bad day. So everything is as it is right now, and then the next day is another day. It's almost like there could be an asteroid hitting the Earth the next day and everything changes. There's a coronavirus and civilization is completely fucked and it's not the same again. So If everything changes and everything is based on what you see in your head in the first place, and then all that really says is just live your life in terms of how you want your life to be. Forget any other humans that exist around you. Just do you. Because if you're trying to make everyone else happy at the same time and there's multiple sides to their reality, then you've got to basically, you've got millions of variables, right, to try and think about at one time, plus your own, to make yourself happy and others around you happy, family members, work colleagues, friends, or whatever. Too many variables. And so the easiest and the only way you can, the only solution is to put yourself first. And it's not selfish. It's just having to understand how life actually works. And you've got to do one. Because you can only do one.
Oh, yeah.
And even then,
the voice has gone a little bit, I guess, from your end or my end. I hope you still hear me well.
So your sounds quite quiet.
Yeah, well, the same goes for you as well. I guess either on your end or mine, we either received a call or something.
Not my end, must be your end.
That's weird, I didn't receive anything as well. But I can still hear you, so I'm going to keep on rolling, if that's okay with you.
Audio is a bit shit. Let's just try and work this out. Did you press anything?
Not at all. Yeah, I hear you very low as well, which is a bit weird.
Have you got, like, a speaker button or a mic button that you can press?
Yeah,
okay, it's better. It's good. Continue.
Great. Oh, for God's sake, something happened here.
All right, we're all good. Let's continue. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I completely agree. It's focusing on yourself and the rest will bring itself around. And it's interesting that you bring that up, especially during the last year. Everybody is around family all the time, especially if you live with them. It's like that amount of connection time has been grown, but at the same time, there are a lot of issues, there are a lot of problems that have crossed fire between families and stuff like that. And I had my part of that experience. But the thing is, and this hit me just last week, and it's beautiful that you were mentioning it. I shifted a lot, especially in the last 2 months. So shifted in my career, in my business, and home, and everything. And I had kind of a guilt when it comes to family because of COVID. I couldn't see them enough. And at the beginning of COVID, I had a really close connection with them because we lived nearly close to each other. So what happened is I felt like I was torn. I had that inner battle. I wanted to do everything for myself. Goodness, Lord, I have a lot of opportunities showing up. I need to invest time in that. But in the back of my head, I always have like, shit, but I'm not giving time to family. And the moment they call me, I feel like they are actually blaming me for not being there or for not being on a certain occasion, or they pass by the kids. Oh, the kids miss you. You're not around a lot. And I started feeling exhausted just by thinking about that inner battle. And I was like, okay, this needs to stop at a certain time because they also have their own life going around and I need to all the time adjust myself. And that's just like a reality that will never happen. We all have something going on in our lives. It is all right to be having that guilt from time to time if you are the type of person who is connected with your family. But you need to remember, if you're not doing good, nobody's going to be doing good, even if you are investing time with them. I mean, can you imagine me after a long day of being all over the place doing my own thing, and at the end of the day, I want to be still with them and invest time with them. I am exhausted. I have zero energy, zero focus. I am not present with them, even though physically I'm around them. So I completely 100% agree with that statement. Focus on yourself, grow, be happy you, be making sure that one variable is taken care of, the rest will come along.
So it's like, if you make sure you're happy and everyone else puts themselves first, then they're not going to be putting pressure on you to be a certain way because they'll be too busy putting themselves first and living their life. So so if he's not thinking about you, like, where are you? You haven't come around to see the kids, he's not called. And you're not thinking about that because you're doing you. No one's thinking about anybody else. There's no expectations for anybody. Everyone's doing them. So everyone's happy. No one's calling anybody. Like, your uncle, he's got his neighbors, he's got lovers, he's got friends, he's got social workers, colleagues, Chinese takeaway buddies. He's got a whole massive ring of people around him. Then your sister, then your mum, then your dad, then your grandfather, then her grandfather, then the great aunt and the aunt. Every single person has like hundreds, maybe not hundreds, but so many variables around them that they're trying to deal with each individually. And all the family members are just one extension of all those variables, right? So now you've basically got, say, 25 family members with like 25 variables each. You're juggling with thousands of variables because their mood and changes and whatever is based on their friends, their colleagues, their work partners, their neighbors, their boyfriend, whatever. And so it's all just like filtering through everybody, like this massive machine of cogs just constantly churning, all interlinking. And you realize there is no other way out apart from just basically fuck the rest, do yourself, tell them to fuck the rest and do themselves. So it's not like, you're a selfish prick, why are you being like this? And I'm saying, no, literally, I'm saying, I'm going to fuck you and do me. Do the same. And then we can talk about how amazing it is to basically fuck the rest and do you. And everyone's now confiding on the same thing about fucking the rest and doing themselves. No one's hating on each other, bitching about not coming over to see the kids or whatever, because everyone's doing the same damn thing, right? And yeah.
That's what you call living an actual life and not actually running after other people to serve your emotions. And you tapped into it earlier about, yeah, focusing on you and having kind of that independency emotionally. I'm not saying that people will never depend on other people for emotions. I mean, we are social creatures by definition. You need other people around you. You need people to say good things to you and say, I love you and I need you in my life and all of that. But if the basis of it is just to get your life to the next level, because you already have a good relationship with yourself, you are already good just by being you. You don't need any other variable to feel actually good about yourself or to feel anything related to love, compassion, or empathy, because you need it to come from other people. You start in it from within. So when you meet other people, the relationship or the connection is going to be something even better. And I really like that. Nowadays, that's what happened. When you are fucking yourself and you're saying fuck to the rest and you are focusing on yourself and other people are not doing it, what happens is you seem like an arrogant bastard. Yeah, you seem like you don't want to be speaking to people. You seem like you're, you know, in a pedestal and you're thinking of everybody as your slaves or something like that. But it's that balance that needs to be happening and that conversation. And that's what's powerful about what we said. You need to tell them to do the same as well. Just don't just do it. Explain what you're going through and say, take time for you as well. I don't need you to be around me all the time. I can handle myself. So that conversation needs to happen at some level.
I don't know whether I had this conversation with you, right? But what I've realized, or maybe whatever, is that, for example, Middle East, right? People, let's just say religion is the number one thing, eating and community. You could have a massive cafe where some guy's serving biryani. You've got 10 people in there, all religious, wearing the same normal white clothes, whatever. Peaceful. They're not pissed off. They're not angry. They know their shit. They know they're here. God loves everybody. They're sitting in silence, eating their food. They're with other people, but they're not talking. Right? Most people, they talk and they talk crap and no one wants to hear their problems. They're talking nonsense and the other guy's like, shut up, I'm trying to eat my food. But I just imagine this calf in Middle East, right? And they're all just eating the biryani in harmony with people. They all know, like, we're here to enjoy our food. No one's speaking unnecessarily. So this thing about doing themselves, which is what they're doing, but we're social people. So we're not saying fuck the rest. We're saying, come, 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 eat, join, have some. But they're not saying anything. So they've got the social element, but they're also doing them. And it's forgotten. It's what people thousands of years ago have always ever done before we could even speak around the campfire, just eating a massive like bowl of rice or whatever, sharing the same pig, just eating. Silence, four languages invented. I'm just enjoying life and it's forgotten.
Yeah. Oh, it is. You remind me of a beautiful time that we used to have when I was a kid. I mean, I am a kid in a family of seven brothers and sisters, for God's sake. It's a huge table for dinner, that's for sure. And my dad always made sure that all of us, at least for dinner, we sit together in the same place, same table, same living area. We do not speak, by the way. And you hit the nerve in there. We do not speak. It's not about, yeah, tell me about the day. No, enjoy the food, but I want you to enjoy it knowing that this food was not only brought to this house for you, but for your brothers, for your sisters, for your mom and dad. Cherish it. Say thank you. Be grateful for it. When we finish eating, and that's the moment of socializing, go ahead and live for the rest of the evening if you want to. Switch on TV or whatever. But there was no TV. There was no... Talking was a little bit minimal, you know? It wasn't like a big, let's chit-chat moment. No, it was eat food, enjoy food, enjoy everybody's company. And then when we finish that and digest it, let's have a conversation. Let's watch TV. Let's do something together. Yeah.
I've never heard that before. Maybe you didn't mean to say it, but people chit chat. They don't chit chat. They shit chat, right? They talk shit. They shit chat. I'm going to take that, right? People shit chat. And you're right. People spend the whole day talking. Like if you haven't seen friends and family in a long time, right? And you catch up, you go out for dinner. Yeah, you talk. It's not about the food. It's about the talking. And it's what should we do whilst we're talking, play golf, play darts, eat. So you eat. So the whole night lasts for a long time and you're talking, but you're kind of eating on the side. When you're with family members, you're already there. You've already said what you need to say. So you don't need to speak whilst you're eating because you were speaking before, you're speaking after. You'll be speaking all through the week. Whereas friends, you might not speak for, say, a few months. So you want to get as much as you want out. But you can always call your sister and your brother up and talk nonsense next week. So eating. You're in that moment. You don't need to talk, right? You just need to eat and be present because it's your belly it's going into. It's your moment, and you speak afterwards. And people sometimes think it's rude if you don't speak. You know, it's like, why do we have to speak? Why can't we just be silent and kind of just acknowledge that through yum 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 affirmations, that's communication. Like we're all agreeing that this lovely pot of stew is yummy. We don't have to talk. And like, if you're at a table full of loads of people, you're talking to the person next to them, What if the other person at the end of the other end of the table doesn't want to hear you have a chat about your nonsense and just wants to eat his dinner in peace? And then it goes back to the caf, where all these people were just in their zone and eating and not talking, and that's it. And they just might say goodbye as they walk out. They're so much happier, simple life.
Yeah, well, I guess people kind of, with all the notions of freedom of speech and share your opinion and this and that, it's gotten to a level in which people sometimes in conversations, they do not even adopt silence, like listening to the other person, number one. And you have the right, you need to remind yourself that even if I receive some information, the person is talking to me, I don't need to jump back at them right there and then. Silence is beautiful sometimes. Listen up, just be silent. And I'm very, very, very much into learning more about communication every single day. I love communication, not just our words, the way that our body interacts with, you know, a conversation, the way that we express in our, you know, in mind and facial expressions and all of that. And it's just interesting when you are in front of someone who's, you know, yeah, I need to say what I have to say all the time. They find it weird when I adopt silence from time to time. I mean, for example, someone is telling me, especially when it comes to jobs or career or business, people kind of, yeah, they want to keep talking. No, sometimes you need to swallow your saliva and listen up a bit and make a little bit of time for yourself to digest all of that. And people find it, are you okay? Yeah, I heard you. I'm just having my time to respond. Because if I respond right away, I can assure you, I wasn't listening to you. I was already making an answer in my mind. But if I take my time, listen to you, I need to digest it a bit before saying anything. But people find it weird. I always have this comment. Are you okay? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if I'm just like sort of, if I'm just laying on my bed in the dark or just laying on my bed with no TV and no radio on, my mum will walk past. You're right. What's going on? What's wrong? Nothing. Why can't I just fucking lay on my bed without having to play the radio? Like, why can't I just think and look up at the ceiling? Like, why do I have to justify anything that I want to do? People see things being a certain way that anything else is different. And I notice I don't get awkward by silence, right? But I know when somebody else is feeling awkward by silence. I'm picking up their thoughts, thinking it's me. And like, fuck off, it's not me, it's you. And so then I have to say, by the way, you know, we don't have to fill air every single second we're not talking. With noise. Like if I'm on a date, for example, I'll make it clear because I know what they're thinking, that we don't have to talk crap unnecessarily. You can be silent. It's not awkward. So now they are aware that they don't have to fill it with crap. So even simply by talking in a silent part, which you're supposed to just enjoy a silence, you know, if you interrupt that silence to say we can enjoy silence, it goes against the whole point of being silent, but at least they don't then have to feel it. You know what I mean? So if people are feeling awkward silent, don't be like, orcs, that was orcs, and make a joke out of it and then fill it with crap again. No, we don't have to speak. People would be like, so this is awkward. Fuck off. You don't have to say that, okay? Just shut up. And if you have something to say that's worth something, talk, but don't fill it with crap. So saying this doesn't have to be filled with silence is powerful because now it relaxes the other person, whether it's a business meeting, a boss meeting, employee meeting, let them know that you're comfortable in silent. So now they're reassured that you are also comfortable too. And it's about communication, which is what it comes down to. No one communicates how they feel because they're scared they're going to be judged. And it's fucking nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. That's completely nonsense. That's very true. Very true. It happened to me just recently again. Well, actually this morning I had an emotional talk with a business partner because I decided to end things up and shift into a different way just for so many reasons. And I was open about it. You know, I said exactly what I had in mind and I didn't filter anything because to me, if you're needing to filter anything through any type of relationship, let it be, I don't know, a love relationship, a partner relationship, a family relationship, then you are actually stripping the other person away from the truth that they actually probably will process better if you start just putting crap to cover up the real reason. And I said it straight ahead. Your vision of things is not the same as mine. And that doesn't mean it's wrong or right. It just means that I have a lot of energy to give and I'm not going to give it to your vision. I'd rather give it to mine. And I said this straight ahead. And the person, oh, goodness Lord, she wasn't expecting that at all. And after a moment of silence, once again, that did us both a great deal, and it was on phone. So silence is definitely going to, if it's going to be awkward, it's going to be on the phone. And she was like, yeah, I actually appreciate that. I have been feeling it a bit. So thank you for saying that. I was like, I don't find it fair either for you or for myself to keep on going and investing in this partnership, knowing that I have a completely different vision. My vision grew out of what we had accomplished at the beginning. So it's about time for me to move on. And she was like, yeah, I actually appreciate that. You have saved me probably months of us not communicating in a good way. Yeah,
I have a thing. You can't over communicate, right? You cannot over communicate. So every single person I've ever podcasted with, I let them know 24 hours in advance that we're still on, an hour before we do it. It's not like you can't over communicate. So making sure the other person knows the plan, that's a good thing for them, because people forget. You're looking after you, because you don't want to fucking turn up and no one's there. But you're looking after them as well. People would rather hear the truth than a lie, right? And also, people are picking up thoughts and get a feeling without even opening your mouth. She's dreaming about you're going to disappear sometime soon, but things don't add up. So she already knows, but she doesn't know she already knows, right? Because it's unconsciously. So all you're doing is it's being a psychic and simply putting everything on the table and picking up, you know, just exposing everything. And that's only a good thing. And people always respect, and I found through being so open, is they may hate the fact that you've now caused them issues, but they admire the fact that you've got the fucking balls to just say it like that. People will always admire how blunt you are, even though they might think you're a cunt for fucking up something. Like, fuck's sake, I put all this money into this partnership, I called up all these clients, right? They will hate you, but they'll admire you, because they wouldn't do that. And again, it all comes down to people always respect truth.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the fact of over communication. It doesn't even exist, and that's true. And it's something actually I appreciate with a lot of people. I do it. I know that people think about it sometimes as of, yeah, you are naggy, you keep on giving too much. To me, no, it's not about too much. It's about making sure it's clear, because sometimes people tend to say, yeah, got it. No worries, all good. That day, that time, amazing. When the day comes, they forget. We are so much distracted all over the place. Like, we have just our phones are a distraction by themselves. And you can understand that someone, if you're having their conversation as a priority, it doesn't mean it's priority for them. So you better go after them if that's a priority for you. Over communicate. If that's something, just do it. Yeah, do it as much as possible.
So you'd be a fantastic boss or president or CEO of a company, right? I'd happily have you as running my company or as a boss, right? Because you tick all the boxes. You understand everything from down going up and up going down, meaning you know what it's like to be spoken a certain way. So when you say to people and you nag them, as they say, you know you can't nag them just... You've got to be smart. You've got to think how they're going to interpret my nagging. So use psychology before you say it. And it's not just I've used psychology with one person. There could be like 50 employees. So you've got to say the same thing to how that person is going to take it, different to the other person. And that comes with great skill. So a leader is supposed to be responsible. So they have to nag, because it comes back on them if they don't. But you can't just nag each person as you would the last person, because that person might take it differently. And it just came to my mind. You'd be a fantastic chief at the top. You'd be a great boss, because it's not just about having a vision and having a drive. It's about people skills. It's so much more. And it's a rare trait to have a leader who people admire, who gets shit done. Normally it's like a prick just dictating, do it. A manager twat, basically. Or they have no vision and they get everyone else to do it. You got the vision and the leadership and the people skills. I just thought I had to say that.
Thank you. Well, I definitely worked with a lot of pricks who thought they were leaders and they weren't. And that was something huge. That was really amazing. That was really amazing to be amongst them. Some of them, they think it's all about, you know, let me show my power. I just, met with someone last week and he was like, he was in his office and everybody around him can know just by everything that he's doing, he's not having a good day. He's like stomping on the floors. He's banging on the tables. He's cursing all over the place. And it's not about that. I mean, you're not going to motivate people or bring people to go make things happen for you, for your vision and the vision globally, by doing that. I mean, that irritates me, actually. So, yeah, I had my share of those bricks in the old days.
And also the thing is, because nothing is, like, simple anymore, it's not just like, you know, Mario creates a pizza restaurant and everyone in the restaurant works for him. There's so many chains of command. Everything's corporate. And so no one gives a shit about the chain, because the man at the top, as long as he's getting his big paycheck, he doesn't give a shit about what happens, right? So you're not really responsible for anything. So the manager's just been there for so long, he's become manager. Everyone hates him. He doesn't give a shit because he's also on shit salary. So he can fart around and stomp his feet and, you know, throw papers in the air, and all the poor employees still have to put up with that shit because that's just the way it is. Whereas if it's an actual Mario's restaurant and Mario needs these people to flip pizzas, yeah, Mario can't stomp around and, you know, and have a fit because they're going to be out the door and Mario's fucked because he's going to run the restaurant. So we're losing sight of the things that actually have meaning. And if you think about, you know, a little Italian restaurant, it's all about community. The fisherman's part of the community. The person in the kitchen, he has the passion. The waiter, the staff, the customers. It's all one big pot. It's not, I'm the boss, you're the manager, you're the employee, you're the customer. It's just, it's so distant. There's a thing on Netflix where there's literally a restaurant of four tables. It's a 7-course a la carte meal. It's the wife serving the four tables. And it's a husband in the kitchen. They only open, say, 3 days of the week. But because they say it's £200 for a meal, there's four tables, there's no staff fees, right? All the food literally from 2 minutes around the corner, fresh, right? And because they're people who want quality, fine service, they're happily going to pay £200. They only open 2 days a week. They make so much more money than a normal restaurant would have if they had loads of customers, because they've kept it simple, right? It's actually genius when you think about it like that. We think about expanding and money. No, specialize in a service, find your niche, rich people who love lobster, and serve them. That's incredible. And it's in the middle of nowhere. Like, no one knows about it. Just down some cobble path by the ocean. It's genius, though. Husband and wife, four tables, 3 days a week, make more money than any, you know, because they've got no bills, because it's literally their downstairs, like their downstairs room. Really quite amazing. And it's so simple.
Oh, yeah, that is completely genius. I agree with you. Yeah, simple is the hard way. Everybody loves to complicate things. And saying it simple, sometimes it happens also just from when you have a friend, you know, or a family member who comes along. Oh, I have this issue. I need help with this issue. Okay, tell me about it. And they're there telling you every type of tangent story related to the real issue, and you never understand what the issue is. It's that element of simplicity and clarity that the moment we actually reach it out, whether it's in business and relationship or just within ourselves, sometimes someone is standing somewhere and they're frowning. You see them. They're not doing good. What's wrong? They don't even know exactly what's wrong. They just decided something somewhere is going wrong. I mean, that clarity element and simplicity, we are lacking a lot of it. A lot of it. So a story like those couple,
Howdy, thanks for listening to my episode. If you could remember to rate and review the episode after you've listened, that'd be fantastic. And also subscribe so when I release a new one, you get a notification. And also, please tell your friends on socials about my podcast. Now I'm going for a poo. I'll be back later. Have a great day and speak to you soon.